Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. I welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where our lives have been transformed and enriched by the preaching of the word of God. It's the gospel of Christ forever and ever. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Praise God. God's word is the power to save. God's word, which is the gospel, is the same power that matures us in the faith. I welcome you once again to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast. This is episode 133. Praise God. And in this series, we're having a current series where we're studying spiritual growth and what it looks like. Praise God. You see, spiritual growth is so important for us to study, because after salvation, the most important thing, the next thing God expects from us is growth, maturity. Hallelujah. Many times when Christians or believers don't pay attention to spiritual maturity, they begin to second guess, you know, their salvation experience. They begin to doubt whether they are really saved, whether they are really mature. Most of the problem in the body of Christ today, you know, with respect to judging people's salvation, not sure people are saved, is a result of not knowing that there's a difference between salvation and spiritual maturity. The man that is saved has become saved and is sealed by the Spirit of God. But if he does not mature in the faith, he will not live out that life for us to see. Hallelujah. So in the sight of God, he stands justified, qualified, he stands sanctified, he is saved, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 does not deal with conduct or attitudes. It deals with position, nature, realities that have accrued to us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Bible says, therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, is a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The day you met Jesus, all things passed away and you became a new creature. But if you don't renew your mind and you don't grow in the faith, you will not walk or live your life as a new creature. That's why spiritual growth is so vital. I mean, it is God's will that we bear fruit in the faith. It is God's will that we are bound in good works. It is God's will that we live out the life we have received. It is God's will that the new life, the Spirit of God, is not just lying dormant in us. There's a whole lot of things to do by the Spirit and with the Spirit. There's the fruit of the Spirit to bear. There's the fruit of souls, the harvest of men to see in the ministry. There's the gift of the Spirit, the expression, giving expression to the Spirit of God with respect to walking in power, the supernatural, the miraculous. So there's a whole lot of experience God wants us to come into now that we are saved. So spiritual growth is very, very important. We must not neglect it. Hallelujah. We must pursue it desperately. I dare say that this is the first duty and the first call of the local church. The church of Jesus, the local church, exists primarily for raising men to maturity, for bringing men to maturity in the faith. If you attend church regularly and you don't grow spiritually, there's a problem. If you attend church regularly, you pay attention, you are so zealous, you are committed to the activities therein, and you are not finding spiritual maturity, and you are not growing, you are not finding nourishment for spiritual maturity, and you are not growing in the faith, something is wrong with what you are being fed. Because the essence, the primary reason and purpose of the local church is to mature us in the faith. Hallelujah. To minister God's word to us till we find nourishment for spiritual growth and maturity. Again, we're back at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Hallelujah. In a generation where people are trying to use the word of God for many things to get results in their businesses, results in marriages, results here and there, results, a results-driven generation, Bible says, desire the sincere milk that you may grow thereby. The first result, and most important result, that the word of God will yield in your life is spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Spiritual growth. You see, if we are to judge maturity in the faith or progress in the faith by physical and earthly and material parameters, the truth of the matter is many of the apostles would not even qualify as mature Christians. Praise God. I mean, look at the experience of Paul. Paul was in lack at different times. Paul speaks of, you know, spoke of being in hunger, being in thirst, being in nakedness, cold, peril of robbers, peril of this and that. He was shipwrecked 3 times. Imagine that kind of testimony. An apostle of Christ saying that he was involved in an accident 3 times. Shipwrecked 3 times. That is sea accident. Does Paul, you know, qualify as a mature Christian based on the yardstick we use to judge spiritual maturity today? I dare say no. Hallelujah. But spiritual maturity is not about anything that is extra in it. Spiritual maturity is about the life of Christ finding expression through us. The faculty, the Christ faculty, finding expression through our conduct, our attitudes, our disposition towards life. Glory to God. So it is so essential that we grow and mature in the faith, and this is the primary reason for spiritual oversight. This is the primary reason for the local church. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. I'll read again. Bible says, all scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. The word complete there is the word that means that the man of God may be perfect. That word perfect is the word that speaks of spiritual maturity. That is the essence of scriptures. The man is indoctrinated till a point where he finds spiritual maturity in the faith. And then that maturity bears responsibilities, or that maturity equips him to fulfill his responsibilities. So because God expects us to grow before he expects us to begin to do. So we have been called to do certain things. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Bible says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we have divine responsibilities, assignments, tasks to fulfill, things to do. Hallelujah. We've been given a ministry. We've been called to the ministry. But then we cannot fulfill this ministry if we don't grow up in the faith. So the focus of preaching and teaching and the scriptures is to equip us, is to make us complete, is to perfect us, is to nourish us, is to mature us, so that we're able to undertake the task that God has marked out for us in his plan and purpose. Hallelujah. So spiritual maturity is so important. And that's why we cannot overemphasize the need for men to grow up in the faith. Many of the problems in the body of Christ today can be traced to a lack of spiritual maturity. Hallelujah. A lack of spiritual maturity. Say, you know, these days Christian husbands are not even living the life. You find husbands beating their wives. Husband beating their wives is a lack of spiritual maturity. It takes a spiritually mature man to lift his hand and begin to beat his wife. I mean, you have to be so spiritually immature. You have to be a babe in Christ. Hallelujah. That means you've not allowed the new life influence the way you ought to conduct yourself towards men. This is not just about your wife. You shouldn't lift your hands, fight. I mean, you shouldn't be found fighting and exchanging blows with people as a Christian. Glory to God. Would Jesus do that? You won't find that in the life of Jesus. You won't find that as an example. You know, he was here, but Jesus got to the temple and he began to chase people out with whips and all that. Jesus, there's no record that Jesus was beating people. He overturned their tables because he had the right to do so. They were desecrating the temple. Hallelujah. But you don't find Jesus exchanging blows with the Pharisees in debates and in, you know, when they were having conversations. They said things that could provoke him. I mean, this was the Jesus they called a mad person. They said he's mad, he's out of his mind. This was the Jesus they said he was demon possessed. This was the Jesus they said he was a glutton and a wine bibber. But you don't find Jesus exchanging blows with people. Why? Because the life of God at work in him would not let him do that. Praise God. So he had a different disposition, a different response to situations. Glory to God. And that is the stature we are to grow into. That kind of conduct of Jesus, that kind of lifestyle, the way Jesus lived upon the face of the earth, is the way we ought to live our lives as Christians. And God's word is able. Hallelujah. Oh, kalamana du sapaniande, e grosu praparianda lascatio, e bratosa. God's word is able. You know, many times we talk about the word as though it's something that is important, does not have the capacity or the ability to deliver results. Hallelujah. And when I talk about results, I'm talking about this kind of results, a change of life. God's word is able to make us live like Jesus lived and walk as he walked. 1 John chapter 2 verse 6. Bible says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. The reason why we have that instruction is because we have the ability on the inside. So the word of God draws out that ability, and we begin to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. So spiritual growth is so important. And yesterday, I began to show us why knowledge is the most important thing in our pursuit of spiritual growth. I said it is because the place we are trying or seeking to address now that we are saved, now that we are born of God, born of his spirit, born again, is the mind. Hallelujah. It's the mind. We are trying to influence our minds with the realities of the Christian faith. The day you got born again, a whole lot of things happened to you. You became a new man. There's a change. You were delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his son. There was a change in location. Hallelujah. There was a change of identity. You became a new creature. There was a change of family. There was a change of ancestry. Hallelujah. You have a new life, a new family, a new relationship. A whole lot of things took place. But your mind is unaware of these things. Your mind is barren and destitute of this reality. And that is the reason why you must now begin to address your mind, your thinking, your thought pattern with the word of God. So the mind is the place we are seeking to address. This is what makes knowledge the most vital ingredient for spiritual growth. Hallelujah. And I'm going to further, explain this today. Knowledge is so important because it's our mind we are seeking to address with the word of God. Turn with me your Bibles to Luke 24. I'll read from verse 44. Look at how Jesus got this done. Hallelujah. For his disciples. Luke 24, 44. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." So the scriptures are centered around Jesus. The scriptures bear a collective witness to Christ. Now look at verse 45, point of emphasis. "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." Where did Jesus impact with the word of God? The understanding of men. Hallelujah. You see, it was not about their spirits. Say, "I got it in my spirit." Where does the unbeliever get it? The unbeliever does not have the spirit of God. Are you aware? So where does the unbeliever get revelation? Praise God. Since he is dead spiritually, he can't even get it in his spirit that is alienated from the life of God. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit. So how does Jesus impact the unbeliever to receive salvation? It's about the mind. So you see, from the stage of being saved, the mind has always played a critical role in receiving revelation. The mind is the place for receiving revelation. Not the spirit. So I got it in my spirit. It's not biblical. It's not a biblical stance. Hallelujah. It's just some excited phrase we've coined up over the years. It's not found in scriptures. Because, this idea, listen. The reason why I'm trying to knock this out is because our use of words actually play out in how we pay attention or take Bible seriously. How we pay attention to the word of God. There are many people who, just because of the fact that they feel that the Holy Ghost or the word of God just jumps into their spirit, they don't need Bible study. Praise God. There are many pastors who don't prepare sermons for, their church meetings. They don't even feel a need to do it. Because they feel that there's revelation that will just come to their spirit. Hallelujah. But revelation comes to the mind of man. The word understanding here, of course, as it sounds, we know the understanding actually has to do with comprehending things. But just in case you feel that where the understanding could have been in the spirit also, the word understanding in the Greek is from the Greek word nous. N-O-U-S. That's the word understanding. It's translated from this Greek word nous. What does it mean? It means the intellect or the mind. Hallelujah. Jesus opened their understanding to comprehend the scriptures. He opened their mind, their intellect. Glory to God. See, Bible study, people will say, it's not an intellectual thing. It's not an intellectual discourse. It is not about an academic approach. Please listen to me carefully. Bible study involves the use of our intellectual faculties. Hallelujah. I mean, a man must listen. Not only listen, he must be able to identify the words used. He must not be a foreigner or a stranger to the language. Hallelujah. He must identify the words used. He must know what it means. There must be, do you understand? A whole lot of processing information. It's an intellectual thing too. In fact, you cannot be blessed by the word if you don't understand the language in which it is communicated. Hallelujah. That's why I find it very funny when somebody who doesn't understand English continues to attend an English-speaking church just because he wants to belong to a class. Listen and listen good. When it comes to spiritual things, it's not about belonging to a class, trying to just farm people. No, it's about understanding what is being said. Go to a place where you can understand what is said. Go to a place where you are familiar with the language that is employed. If you cannot speak English, there's no point listening to a broadcast that is done in English language or sitting in a church where there's no interpretation for people who cannot understand English. Go to a place where you can understand the language. No matter how educated you are today as a person, you understand English language, you are tuning into this broadcast. The moment we change the language of this broadcast to French, you will stop listening. Praise God. It is not because you don't have fervency or because you are backsliding or you lack devotion. It is because the language we are using is actually something you cannot comprehend. And it will make it a waste of time to keep tuning in. Hallelujah. And if you keep tuning in because you are so religious and passionate, you just want to follow us anyway, every day you will leave the broadcast confused, not knowing what has been said. So this shows you something, that Bible study involves the mind, the use of the intellect. That is what the Bible says at Luke chapter 24, verse 45. That is exactly what Jesus did. He opened their understanding, their mind, to comprehend the scriptures. Because the place of revelation is the mind of man. Hallelujah. The place of revelation is the mind of man. I remember some years back, I was trying to engage this young man that used to attend our local church. And then after the service, I was trying to have a conversation with him. Then I discovered that he couldn't speak English. I mean, at some point, he would not even flow with anything I was saying. He didn't understand anything I was saying. So I said to him, because we have a Yoruba speaking church, and then I said, I recommended the place for him, but he felt sad because his friend understood English and was always coming for the English service. He also wanted to just belong. And I said, see, there's no use. And you know, this guy could speak the French language. You know, coincidentally, I use French as an example, but really, he could speak the French language because he came from a French-speaking nation. And I said to him, not to make him feel bad, because I felt that he wasn't getting the point. So I said to him, I said, see, you are actually educated in your own language. I'm an illiterate in that language. I can't understand it. If you are the preacher in this church and you preach with French language, there's no way I'm going to be blessed, and I will not come here anymore. I will stop coming for this particular service unless there's an interpretation. Now, if I have an opportunity to attend another meeting or another session in the same local church where they speak my language, then, I mean, that's to my advantage. Praise God. That's to my advantage. But if there's no such provision, then I'll leave and find a place where they speak my language, because I cannot be blessed without understanding the language. This demystifies the idea of, you know, getting revelation in your spirit. If your mind does not understand the language, no matter how spiritual you are, you will not understand it. Hallelujah. Because your mind is the place of revelation. You see that word again? Let's go back to Luke 24, 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Understanding, I said, is from the Greek word nous, which means mind or intellect. Hallelujah. And then he says that they might understand the scriptures, that they might comprehend the scriptures. The word understand here is the word sunemi in the Greek. Sunemi, spelled S-U-N-I-E-M-I. Sunemi. What does it mean? It means to put together or join together in the mind. Again, it's about the mind, to put facts together in the mind, to arrange things logically in the mind till a point where the mind grasps what you are saying. Hallelujah. The mind understands and comprehends what you are saying. So how did Jesus do this? He walked them through scriptures. He was putting facts together. Walked them through scriptures, showed them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He began to add up. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you are sitting in a Bible study and then it just clicks because of the explanation, the interpretation, because of the, you know, walking through scriptures, the corroborations and seeing things together in scriptures. It just makes a complete sense. The big picture is formed in your mind and you get it. That's what we're talking about. The revelation comes to the mind because the mind is the place of revelation. Hallelujah. So this means an understanding of scriptures happens in our minds. And we're able to, you know, when we're able to put the facts together from the word, that's the exact thing that Jesus did. Glory be to God. So clearly from this place, we've seen that even from the point of salvation, the mind of man is the place for revelation. Hallelujah. So, you know, we don't just say the Holy Ghost is just going to influence you anyhow. No, the Holy Ghost influences the minds of men, and you don't get it or catch it in your spirit as a rhema. You get it in your mind. The understanding. After the facts have been put together, understanding is born in your mind. Praise God. So at the point of salvation, men must comprehend it intellectually. This is the same way for spiritual growth. We must continually understand the word. We must continually expose our minds to the word of God to grow spiritually. And you see, this is why you must pay attention to Bible study. We can't overemphasize a need for Bible study. We are living in such a time where the Christian church is playing down and talking down on knowledge and Bible study and rigorous and academic Bible study. And people are talking down on it and talking about experiences and are trying to elevate supernatural experiences above a need for men to be studious in the word of God. Hallelujah. Such is not found in the Bible. It's not a Bible culture. It wasn't the culture in the early church. There was such a commitment, a firm and steadfast commitment to Bible study in the early church that you cannot miss it. If you join them in the early church, you know that these guys are given to the study of the word of God. Hallelujah. These men are given to the study of the word of God. Let me show you something quickly. At Acts of Apostles 11, we'll come back to the issue of the mind. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 11. See why the Christians were called Christians. See why we were ever called Christians. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus didn't call us Christians. He didn't call us Christians. It was men that looked at the early church and they saw the activities and they said, these guys are Christians. That is, they belong to the party of Christ. In those days, they had Herodians, people who belong to the party of Herod. So that was the way they looked at Christians, and they looked at, you know, believers in Christ, and they said they belong to the party of Christ because they saw Jesus as a leader of a sect. Hallelujah. So at Acts 11, verse 26, but what made them refer to the church as Christians? Acts 11 and verse 26, look at this carefully. Glory to God. I'll read from verse 26. Acts 11, Bible says at verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. What happened? What did they see? They assembled with the church and they taught them for the space of how many years? A whole year. They taught them for a whole year. They saw teaching activity, commitment. Hallelujah. If it were to be a modern day setting, that means you see people coming to, you know, the gathering of the saints regularly with their bags, with writing materials, with their Bible clutched under their arms. Do you understand what we're saying? You will see an activity that reflects education. Hallelujah. Education, indoctrination. Men that are being taught and taught and taught and brought to maturity in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This is very important. Knowledge is so key. And knowledge is so key, is so important, because it affects the mind of men. Hallelujah. Listen, what I'm saying in essence is this. The same way every knowledge in this world will affect your mind, is the same way God wants to affect your mind with the knowledge of his word. The same way every knowledge in this world will affect your mind, the same way every knowledge in this world wants to impact your thinking, your thought pattern, that is exactly the same way God wants to impact your thinking and your thought pattern and your mind with the word, with his word, with the knowledge of his word. Hallelujah. You see, the same way some bad music somewhere, devilish, demonic music somewhere, affects the way you feel and think, is the same way God wants to, by spiritual songs, affect the way you feel and think. Praise God. It's the same thing. It's the same way. Your mind. So it depends on the influence you constantly expose your mind to. It depends on what you constantly feed your mind with. Spiritual growth is about feeding your mind with the word of God till you are influenced by the same. And your conduct and character begins to reflect the life of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we've seen that at the point of salvation, it is the mind of man that God influences. The minds of men. Praise God. There will be no salvation if people do not understand the message. You can't just pray people into the faith. You must teach the word of God to them till they understand it and faith is born in their hearts. So for spiritual growth also, there will be no maturity if men do not continually comprehend and have a firm grasp of that which has happened to them in Christ Jesus, of that which Jesus has done for them. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 1 from verse 28. See that the word translated understanding at Luke 24, 45 is the same word used for mind at Romans 1, 28. You see that the mind has always been the major problem. The mind, the state of the mind. It's via the mind you rather receive the influence of unbelief or faith. When Adam and Eve got corrupted and deceived in the garden, you notice what was corrupted? It was their minds. Hallelujah, we'll come to that shortly. But look at Romans chapter 1, verse 28. The mind, so key, so important. Praise God. Romans 1:28. Look at this. Bible says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. A debased mind. It was about the mind. Hallelujah. The mind. It was about the mind. That's the same word translated mind at Romans 12 verse 2. And be not conformed to this word, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. So salvation is about the mind. If a man is going to be saved, it will be about having a change of mind by the word of God by which he becomes saved. So it is by a change of mind. And that's the word repentance. To have a change of mind, that comes by the word of God. That is how faith is born in the hearts of men. He has a change of mind, is persuaded by the word of God, is persuaded contrary to his thoughts from the word of God, and then he's saved. This is the same way spiritual maturity also takes place. There must be God's word replacing old thoughts in your mind, renewing your mind, and then you find transformation. That's the word mind, nous in the Greek, understanding, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. You see, persuasion comes in the mind. When Paul was writing about people who esteem a day above another day, he used the word mind. He spoke of how every man should stay persuaded in his own mind, because it's the mind That is the place of persuasion. That is the place of revelation. He says, one man esteems one day above another, Romans 14:5. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. It's not my spirit. My spirit just agrees with it. No, it's not about the spirit. Praise God. In this matter of, you know, esteeming a day above another day, the spirit of God is actually indifferent. Praise God. The spirit of God is not choosing any particular day for worship. It's a thing of your mind, your own persuasion in your mind. Praise God. When Paul was talking about how the church should walk in the same sense of judgment, to agree on the same things, it was about the mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. And it's the same Greek word. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. It's about the mind. Hallelujah. It is about the mind of man. Glory to God. So our minds play a very critical role in spiritual growth, because that's the place of divine revelation. Glory to God. Look at 2 Corinthians concerning the ministry of the serpent in the garden. You see that when it was to corrupt men, it was about their minds. 2 Corinthians 11, Bible says, oh, that you would bear with me a little in a little folly, 2 Corinthians 11 verse 1, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Verse 3, point of emphasis, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So if a man is going to be hindered from making progress in the faith, it is because his mind will be corrupted by false teaching. If a man is going to grow in the faith, it is because his mind will be renewed by the word of God, by sound doctrine, sound teaching. We're a product of our thoughts, where our conduct and character and behaviors and attitudes are concerned. We're a product of how we think, of how we think, of our thought process, of our thought pattern, of our thinking pattern. Hallelujah. So it's about the mind. The mind is so important. You cannot, you know, neglect it. You cannot, you know, just wave it aside. You must do something about it. You must renew it. You must influence it with the truth of the word of God. Hallelujah. So knowledge is so important, because the mind is what we are seeking to impact and influence. Let's see Ephesians chapter 4, final scripture for today. The mind is so important because the mind is the place of revelation. The mind is so important because the mind is what we are seeking to address for spiritual growth. And if the mind is what we are seeking to address for spiritual growth, it must be by knowledge. It must be through the knowledge of the word of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Bible says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. That's the same word nous in the Greek, nous. The futility of their mind, of their understanding. Verse 18. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. So you see that there's the state of the mind that was playing out in the old life also. The state of the mind. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their hearts. Why were they alienated from the life of God? Because of the ignorance that was in them. Hallelujah. Because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the futility of their mind. Like we saw at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the serpent did not corrupt men without access into their minds. It was through their minds he corrupted them. Praise God. So he says they were alienated from the life of God because of the futility of their mind, and because their understanding were darkened. Hallelujah. And because of the ignorance that is in them. He says, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to walk all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have been taught, you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, verse 22, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Hallelujah. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Where does the renewal take place? In the mind. Spirit of the mind actually speaks of attitude, because it was talking about conduct. The word spirit there is the word that means attitude. Be renewed in the attitude or in the conduct of your mind. Praise God. That's why the next thing he begins to say and talk about is about putting on a new conduct entirely, which will not come without the renewing of your mind. So it says, be renewed in the attitude of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is necessary for edification, that he may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, until the day by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Those are the attitudes and the conducts of the new man, which cannot come to play, which cannot be seen, which cannot find expression through you, unless you renew your mind with the word of God. So be renewed in the attitude of your mind. Hallelujah. The attitude that flows from the mind cannot be wholesome unless the mind is renewed with the word of God. So it's the mind we are trying to deal with. I want to encourage you to build an atmosphere of the word around yourself. What you hear regularly, what you expose your mind to regularly, is what you are going to live out on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. If you expose your mind to things that instill fear, you will live out fear. If you expose your mind to the things that inspire and you know, stir up faith in your heart, you will walk in faith. If you expose your mind to the things that inspire the love of God, you walk in the love of God. If you expose your mind to the things that inspire hatred, bitterness, and all kinds of things, you walk in the same. Hallelujah. You must guard your mind, because the mind is the place of spiritual revelation. The mind is the place for spiritual revelation. The mind is the place for the influence of the Spirit. The mind is the place where spiritual growth takes place. Hallelujah. We're going to continue from here on Monday. Don't forget to tune in. And don't also forget to invite somebody. Invite your friends, classmates, colleagues, family members, friends. And let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great weekend of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of spiritual songs, full of the Spirit, of power, of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And be a blessing to somebody. Also, go to church on Sunday. See you in the next episode.